We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart is here along with Greg Dickerson. Rich is off for the day. He'll be back here on Monday.
Is he at a movie?
No, I don't think there's any big...
There is. Isn't Jurassic World?
Nah, he wouldn't skip a day for that.
He didn't tell
That's
you.
Only Star Wars type stuff.
You guys don't talk, huh?
I don't really like him all that much, to be honest with you. I mean, he's all right.
So it's just
By the way, for somebody who then turns that into something that it's not, it's a joke!
No, the morning show will run with it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Your buddy Kirk.
So
he's on Twitter, you know. Interesting stuff coming out of him these days.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that...
Not about him.
No. He is saying that he's hearing that there's a major story about to break.
You know what day
That's
today is?
That's what he's saying.
What day is today?
It's Friday News Dump Day.
But also, wasn't it the Friday that the whole Gronk tray, you know, the guy on Reddit...
Last Friday. Or two Fridays.
Two Fridays ago, I think. Right. And yeah, there's all these people tweeting about Hanley. News, rumors, sounds like something about Hanley coming. I'm interested. I want to know. I'd like to know now in the money hour.
If we could talk about it. If somebody can break the story between now and 6:15, that would be terrific.
Preferably on EEI.com.
As long as it's right.
If it's wrong, I want no part of it.
I've been hearing these murmurs for the last few days that there is something brewing regarding something big.
And not his signing.
And not good.
And not his signing. Unsigned and... You know, there was some Orioles rumors, but that's sort of it's all petered out. So there seems to be a reason that he is untouchable.
As we all said at the time when he was released, doesn't make a lot of
something
sense.
Smells.
Yeah, you know, obviously you didn't.
Well, no,
it
did make sense in terms of you don't want him to get to the
plate appearances.
You don't want to lock in the contract for next year.
But you
year.
Knew that they could get around that they could just
right.
I mean,
and
it's
they,
not
they
like
pulled
they
the cord
within,
early.
Right, it's not like they were within 20 at bats.
Right,
yet. I mean,
they ripped
a long
that cord
way, to go.
Way early.
Right. At the time, you were like, okay,
barely out of the plane, and they pulled the cord.
Right.
By the way, I should have thought of this the first time we played it during the Open. But as we were playing it in the open there a moment ago with Tom singing, poorly, I might add.
Well, he's giving his best.
No, I don't know.
No, I think he is.
Okay. So,
and Eric Cartman says, sometimes your best isn't good enough.
So as I listened to it, I just thought of this. Is he taping himself? Because that would indicate some sort of pride,
inebriation.
I don't know. So I was thinking, all right, you know, his buddy is taping him. He doesn't
right.
know
or
what's
his
happening.
Wife. Huh. We saw that thing in the
was
car. Remember? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, she was there. She's there.
Or she was there. Too.
And remember going to the Met Gala, and he's
he
like, "Turn that off! Turn that off!" So she likes
yeah,
to
it
tape
wasn't,
him.
It wasn't.
He was taping himself.
No, it was not.
It was a selfie. It's a selfie video.
Oh, that's sad. First of all, the fact that you taped it is bad enough because, let's be honest, the singing is not that good.
You should destroy it.
But then, yes, exactly. You don't post it.
But it was bad.
You cannot take a selfie of yourself singing
to
poorly
YouTube.
And then post it to any social media.
But was it yesterday or today?
Tom,
was selfie day?
Tom, you have lost me.
Yesterday.
Yesterday was selfie day?
Yeah, so he did it on National
Day. He's very big into social media, so he knew it was selfie day.
You guys have a good time rooting for Tom Brady. I'll be rooting for Brian Hoyer next year. Thank you very much.
What?
He's lost me.
What?
Deflate all the footballs you want, skip OTAs. You do that, you have lost me for good.
I think you've gone off the rails.
No, don't do that.
I'll be rooting for Tom Brady.
You have a good time with that. I'll be rooting for my boy Johnny Manziel up in the Canadian Football League. Thank you very
doesn't
much.
Even fun.
He will. Give it time.
That's bad.
Oof.
That's what something like, it's fine when you're there with your group of friends, but like no one should be recording. Like this is just, we have
our
fun.
You're enjoying the concert.
Right, but no one needs to see this.
You could be Steve Brady.
Or hear it.
Is he injured or singing?
Right.
That's actually the recording of when the thumb injury happened on the practice field.
Man. All right, so as we mentioned during Trending Now, Celtics take sophomore Robert Williams III. last night out of Texas A&M.
Danny calls him Bob.
I know. Two-time SEC
player. I call him future all-star in Turkey.
Two-time SEC defensive player of the year.
Shared the award last year, though.
A rim protector and all that stuff. So Brad Stevens held his little post-pick press conference right over here, right next door. They're brand-new facilities.
Beautiful.
Taj Mahal of practice facilities here next door. It's gorgeous.
Do we have a nap room here? Is there one? I have never seen one.
It's called the studio.
You're in it now, Brad.
Right.
It works out that way sometimes. But Brad Stevens talking about what Robert Williams has to do.
Contribute right away. How will that atmosphere help a guy like Robert Williams step in right away and contribute whatever his role might be?
Well, I think the atmosphere part of it is this, and this is the responsibility of those guys, Jason and Jalen. The other young players, when Robert gets here for summer league, when he sees, you know, Al Horford and, you know, working out in the weight room like he was today, or Gordon Hayward doing his rehab like he was today, like other guys in and around the gym. I think the biggest key in the environment is he's got to come to work. So, like, next Friday when he gets here and does his introductory press conference, is that breaking news? That is now. When he comes on Sunday, you know, all the hoopla will be done. It's time to get to work.
Hey, everybody, just a quick update. We are having some issues getting a hold of Robert this morning.
And anybody wonder
what time does Buffalo Wild Wings in Shreveport close?
Well, I thought
it doesn't.
Ever.
It's a great place, by the way.
I'm sure it is.
It's a restaurant of Andy
Hart. Not just the Shreveport
it's never
one is?
Closed.
Or all of them.
Send those gift cards to me.
So last night, Boston Sports Today, of course, they had extensive post-draft coverage, as you might expect. Among their guests, former Texas A&M coach Bill Kennedy, talking about Robert Williams.
Doesn't have much to say about him, really.
Very quiet on him.
One of our NBA analysts tonight said, you know, when he was on, when Robert Williams was on, he was incredible. But there were some nights he didn't show up. One, do you agree with that assessment? And if so, why didn't he show up every night?
Well, that's something. There was some truth to that. Against Kentucky, he was awesome. Against maybe a lower Division I program, he'd lose interest at times. And that's just learning. That's a growth process, learning how to play hard every day and learning how to compete every night. Some kids take longer to develop, and I think that's kind of the story with him. We never really had any issues with him on the court and then practice and going academically. He did well for us. He did what we asked of him. He just got to learn how to compete and push through fatigue and work on his craft a little bit more than he has in the past. And I think he's learned that, and I think he's going to a great culture, and Brad Stevens understands coaching college kids and young kids and the culture there with the guys they have there and the work ethic they have there is only going to help him get better. And that's what Robert needed. He needed to be in an environment like that for him to flourish.
Don't really care if Bob is...
Wasn't a ringing endorsement.
No, I don't care if he's working on his underwater basket weaving
you did
pieces.
have a problem with him on the court.
Right.
He didn't try hard
all the time.
That's a problem.
That's an on-court problem.
You know, he's a coach. He's coached a lot more of these kids than certainly any of us in this room. But is that something you teach, or is some of that how you're wired?
Some of it's how you're wired. Like, some of it you do, and I will say this. We've all seen it. Some kids... There are kids who do grow out of it. We do see that there are kids who are immature as hell at 21 or 22. And Tony Allen wasn't the most mature kid at 22 years old when I first saw him in a Celtic uniform. Became a pretty mature team leader kind of guy as he got older, but it doesn't always work that way.
Do more grow out of it or do more stay who they are?
I would probably say it's 50-50.
Oh, you wuss. Pick one or the other.
Okay, 60-40 they don't. How's
okay,
that?
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
That's what you want?
Negativity sells.
That's fine. I'll give you whatever you want.
Turkey,
want me to
here
dance?
I come.
I'll dance.
Can I just say that I hate Baker Mayfield a little bit today? Because Baker Mayfield is almost kind of making me like him a little bit.
I don't think so.
Cleveland Browns, my second favorite team, Darryl.
I don't especially want to like Baker Mayfield
or the Cleveland Browns.
Why don't you? Because I think he's a jerk, too.
Yeah. And I don't really buy some of this. I don't know if I watched all of it, but
Seems staged to me.
Remember Jim Everett, Chris Everett, and what's his name on ESPN, and that was staged.
Jim Rome?
This feels staged.
Well, Baker Mayfield on with Cowherd yesterday, and away they went.
And I saw this, and I'm like, oh, Baker, you're playing Ohio State. I watched every snap. You were, you know, gloriously talented guy, right? And then I see this play right here. Now watch this, Baker, and you throw a touchdown, and instead of, now I don't like this. I'm going to tell you right now, how come you're not, what? Where are you going? Where are you going over there?
Our band is over there. Our student section's right there. And then straight back to our sideline.
What about your teammates?
Did you watch the rest of the game?
I watched the whole game.
You did? So you saw me celebrate with my teammates like the three touchdowns before that too?
I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You pulled the one clip of me running right there to our fans and people that traveled well to that game, first of all. And then you didn't show the rest of the clip of me going to our sideline?
No. You have to go to the sideline. You're not going to go to a hospital. Where are you going to go after the touchdown? You're not going to go.
Well, you're acting like I just ran away from everybody.
Well, you did, but then you came back and circled to the sideline.
This is a 5-second clip of your showing me, and then I'm off the screen right there?
I'd like you to be with your teammates.
Watch the rest of the game. I was.
All right. Oh, I know you went back to the sideline.
No. Go watch the other touchdowns. I got very excited on that one.
So you think my accusation that this isn't
the fact
great.
I feel like you're going for the fact that I'm not a team guy. I'm selfish. Is that what you're shooting at right here, or what?
No, I don't think that. I think sometimes your judgment's just a tad off. I don't love that decision. I don't love it.
The celebration? Do you see what people do in the league now, celebration-wise?
See, I got to be honest.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I don't think it was staged at all. I did not get it.
I think it was scripted by a producer, Pre. Here's what we're going to do. Wow. He gives you the opportunity. It's okay. Take some shots at Colin. It's what we're going to do.
Fake as fake can be. You know what? Because it sounded too real. I don't think so. Because if it was fake and scripted, I think you would have heard that out of Baker Mayfield. I didn't hear fake from him. And I understand why you and some other people feel that way. Because as you see on the scroll below, Baker Mayfield draft, you know, path to the draft, whatever the hell it's called. It's promoting a Baker Mayfield special on FS1.
Yep.
No, I don't think it was at all. And I think he handled himself gloriously.
And I will say this. I think I may have told you this, Dale, at some point. I've been to the combine now, I don't know, 15, 16 years. And he had the biggest air of just cockiness, unlike he walked into the room and he just oozed.
What did he do?
Unlike
just what was it he did specifically? He just oozed it?
Walking crowd. He was the biggest crowd, I would say, this year. Every year there's somebody, you know, it's Tebow, it's Cam Newton, it's whatever. He was a big crowd and just walked and just looked with disdain at people, waiting for them to move in a certain way, just like part the Red Sea. The great Baker is. I can't necessarily put my exact finger on it. But as I said, he was the worst of the worst that I've ever seen enter that room. And that's Manziel. That's Newton. I've seen them all come through. And he just had an air about him that I can flat out tell you I really didn't like.
It doesn't tell you anything? If you believe the stories that are out there, it doesn't say something to you that Bill Belichick wanted him? Or was interested in moving up to draft him?
I don't know how much truth there is to that. It sounded a little bit like Josh was convincing him that he wanted to work him out. And you never know, we might trade up to the Giants if you're on board and all that.
The agent came out with a story?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about any of that.
Well, let's see if Baker Mayfield and Colin Cowherd took it to the next level.
But let's get to the stuff I don't like. You know, sidelines, grabbing stuff, you know, throwing, whizzing footballs. Come on, you're going to be a franchise quarterback. What are you grabbing stuff that? Why? What's going through your mind when you do that during games?
Have you played football past high school?
I quarterbacked, and I sucked.
Past high school?
Well, no, not past high school.
Football is a violent, competitive game.
Yeah.
That's the way it was always meant to be played. Yeah. You're supposed to play it with an edge. You're actually trying to impose your will on the other person to win. Right. There's a lot of trash talk, a lot of stuff that is not, you know, there's stuff that's said on the field that you can't repeat no matter where you're at.
That answer I love.
Yeah,
I agree 100%.
Absolutely.
Because we've all been in arguments, fights, and you do something, say something, gesture something that you know is wrong, and you look back on it later, and if it were happened to be on videotape and aired on the news, you'd say,
call the motions.
Really wish I hadn't done that.
Who the F is Colin Cowherd, the arbiter of all that is moral? Go away.
Right.
You've done and said a lot worse things than some of the things that I see done on the athletic field. You're not the moral arbiter of all that is correct and all that is right.
Yeah, I have no problem with Baker Mayfield, the player. It's the little bit of the attitude and cockiness and all that, and then the marketing. He's clearly going heavy in the, I mean, he was followed around. He had a camera crew, and there's a documentary, and Okay, well, if Tom Brady does it year 18, that's one thing. I don't know that I like it.
Yeah, but not everybody's Tom Brady.
A lot of them are Johnny Manziel and a lot of the other guys that flame out because the focus isn't where it needs to be.
I will say this about Baker Mayfield, why I think he will succeed, whether he's a seven-time Pro Bowler, I don't know, but I think he'll be a damn good quarterback in the NFL, is he's not just this flash-in-the-pan, you know, like AAU kid we see in basketball that has been – you know, given everything and told how great he is from the time he was 6 years old, the freaking kid walked on. He walked on to get a scholarship at Oklahoma. He battled and he fought to get where he is. Nothing was handed to
his
him.
Career.
That says something.
You know, people like to make a lot about the Brady and the Drew Henson and all that. Baker Mayfield fought far harder to have a Heisman Trophy starter at two schools football career in college football than Brady ever did. Brady went to Michigan. You know, he first of all, it's not that low of a rung on the ladder to go to Michigan as a quarterback.
No.
I don't care whether you're fifth on the depth chart or one. If you're at Michigan
and they're giving
and they
you
allow
the
you in the door,
and they're giving you the scholarship ahead of time,
you're at a high level. Yes. So yeah, Baker Mayfield has fought for a lot of things. I have my doubts about his playing ability and his size and his arm strength and the freelance nature of the way he wins. I think he'll be in the league for a while. Will he be a journeyman who, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's it and bounces around and has one good year and then somebody says, you know what, he's a starter? I don't know. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, but he's a competitor. That is one thing you can never question.
Do you believe the reports out of the CFL? I think it was June Jones who said that he thinks Johnny Manziel will be back in the NFL, but it'll take him 2 years to get there.
Probably. There's not enough quarterbacks to go around. And if he can go 2 years, I think June Jones says it's going to take 2 years. That's about what it's going to take. If he can stay clean and
see,
he's
that's my doubt is whether or not he can.
And that's a legitimate question.
Toe the straight and narrow for 2 years.
That's an issue. That's a challenge for any alcoholic, right? I mean, is being able to do that and now having your career in the spotlight and hinge upon it, because he's only going to get one mistake. He's not going to get a mistake. If he has a mistake, it's probably over. I think he probably will be back, though. I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm buying into the comeback story. And because there's not enough quarterbacks to go around, I think he'll get a chance.
I want to say, maybe I misread this. I know he signed a two-year deal, but for some reason I thought I saw somewhere that it was an ironclad two-year deal, which I thought was not the case with CFL contracts. It was, hey, if you sign a two-year deal and you got a chance to go to the NFL after year one,
right?
Boom, you're gone, you go after year one. I don't know. Maybe I misread it. But if he has a good year and keeps his nose clean,
he's going to play first. June Jones likes him a lot. He's not playing.
I know.
He has said he's not taking over.
Which I understand. I think eventually he will because he's going to have to.
Or somebody gets hurt and then he comes in.
There's a ticket sale thing up there that I'm sure will.
And his style is fun. I have doubts about his abilities, too.
His abilities are perfect for the Canadian Football League. It's like Doug Flutie.
Well, as long as somebody's on the other end of it. Because Mike Evans plays in Tampa now. He doesn't play in Saskatchewan or wherever the hell he is. Where is it? Ottawa?
That's a good name. Hamilton. Hamilton?
Maybe. I don't know. You could say any name there, and I'd say
it's
maybe.
Oh, yeah, it sounds
Toronto?
Good.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. As long as it was a city in Canada, I was going to say
he plays
maybe
for the Rough Riders. Not the Rough Riders, but the Rough Riders.
That's not Saskatchewan?
No, it's there's two of them.
Hamilton.
No, Hamilton's the
There's two
Cats.
Rough Riders?
There's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and there is the...
What is this, the Baller League, where everybody has the same nickname?
No, you can't have two teams with the same nickname.
Two of them.
Yeah, because it was one was Rough Riders, and the other one is Rough Riders.
Two words?
Two words, not one.
And one is one word?
It was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Is this legit, or is he screwing
with
me?
No, I think
the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the Edmonton Eskimos.
Really? We're going to go through all the Canadian
yes,
football
Yes, we will,
Dale,
until we find them.
No, we're not going to. Michelle McPhee is an investigative journalist for ABC News, writes for Newsweek. Used to write for the Boston Herald, among other places. She drops the first shoe about all these rumors and innuendos, and she doesn't give you much for details. But Michelle McPhee tweeted out 7 minutes ago, Hanley Ramirez, former Red Sox, she says infielder, okay, DH, former Red Sox infielder has some, well, issues. Being eyed in connection with an ongoing federal and state investigation. Stay tuned, she writes.
Well, that's not good.
It's incredibly vague.
Yeah, incredibly vague.
But when the feds are involved, it's bad.
If she had just said an ongoing investigation, I'd have said, okay, this doesn't sound good. When she combines federal and state investigation.
But it could still be anything.
From everything, from all the things we've pieced together and have heard secondhand and seen tweeted and heard thrown around over the last, let's say, week or so, we knew that there was something large
smoking.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there was going to be a major fire, and it wasn't going to be good for Hanley Ramirez.
Right, and it's explaining potentially why he is.
Oh, I think it's
a former Major League Baseball player.
I think it's telling you exactly why he was released by the Red Sox when he was, and why he hasn't been picked up by anybody.
Well, I don't know what the other teams would know. It may well be that his agent, if a team did come calling, if Detroit after Miguel Cabrera went down said, "Hey, Hanley, you want to play for us?" It may be that the agent said, "You know what? Maybe we need to just chill for a little bit."
They got some issues. We're trying to work our way through at this
point.
Let
you know.
We'll call you.
Well, I mean, one of the things I remember saying it a week ago when we had a discussion about Hanley Ramirez was, if you're Hanley Ramirez, why the hell do you want to play for anybody in May or June? You're getting paid. Why do you want to get paid league minimum to play in June and July? You tell somebody, "Yeah, I'll see you August 25th. I'll see you then, but it's
if I can.
Yeah, well, now
the feds may not allow me.
Right, exactly. I may have to wear a little brace around my ankle. Don't mind that at all. I'll cover it up.
It won't
with
play
my
itself out that quickly.
Right, yeah.
If anybody who goes on Twitter, there's various things, and you just wonder. It could be anything.
Well, right? And this is worded so vaguely.
Yeah, it's anything.
I mean, literally anything. The thing that jumped out at me, obviously, is federal and state investigation.
Yep.
Now, that puts a little more ominous tone to it. Again, if you're just joining us, Michelle McPhee tweeted out, "Hanley Ramirez, former Red Sox infielder, has some, well, issues." How she wrote it, not me.
Right.
Being eyed in connection with an ongoing federal and state investigation. Stay tuned. Literally, that's all. And we've been hearing these vague rumblings, rumors, innuendos.
Kirk dropped a little mini something a little while ago.
Kirk tweeted something. And when Kirk tweeted out, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me right now. He said something like, "I'm hearing, you know, a major story is about to..." And somebody responded to him and said, "Hanley?" And Kirk responded, "Gee, why do you say that?" I don't know.
Because it's been out there. I mean, there's been rumors on Twitter and various places.
Haven't been able to fit it all and put it all together.
And that's why I'm always interested, like, if teams know about it, well, how do they know about it, but, you know, no journalist was able to find out about it, nobody from the Globe, the Herald, or any of these websites or TV stations.
A lot of times they do know about it, but they can't get it pinned down 100%, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to be a little careful.
Right.
I mean, Michelle McPhee has put this so innocuously that... there's really nothing, unless there is literally no investigation going on, state or federal.
And there's something going on somewhere.
One would assume that, you know, her sources are generally speaking pretty solid.
And then you start to throw in things and start thinking and wondering and asking the questions. What exactly did the Red Sox know about whatever this is?
What did they know and when did they know
exactly?
Answer it.
Did they know it in March? Did they know it in February? Did they wait until was hitting, you know, .190 for a month?
If he had had 18 home runs at the time, would he have been gone?
It's worthwhile asking.
Greg, you can even say, did it happen after the Red Sox released him? Yeah, I mean, we literally don't know.
He always has a way to put a positive spin on it.
No.
Do you have to ruin our fun now?
No, what I'm trying to point out is we don't know anything.
Right.
But the best guess is, you know, there's a reason the Red Sox dropped him at the time that they did.
I'll tell you the reason why I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Because Dombrowski kind of threw this into the lap of Alex Cora. If it was, in fact, the Red Sox are hearing, uh-oh, this is what's going on, I don't think Dombrowski would have done that to Alex Cora.
That's true.
I think he just would have said, you know, it's an organizational decision. And he's the one who said, Alex had this idea. He came to us with it. Leads me to believe, A, they didn't know then.
Right.
Or B, it happened since then.
Right. If a major arrest or something happened, I don't think he needs Alex to come to him and say, "Hey, we might want to consider cutting ties with this guy."
Unless that's their story. Unless that's their story, they say, "Oh, Jesus, we just found this out about Hanley. We know this. We got to think of something. We can't, you know, hey, Alex, I'm just going to say that you made the decision and it's your move. And here's the story. Do we all know? We're all on the same page? Okay, this is what we're running with."
I'm going to guess that by next Wednesday, right? Alex Cora, joins Dale and Keith on Sports Radio, WEEI.
At Fenway.
Oh.
I'm guessing you're going to have some interesting questions to ask by then.
By then, I think we're going to know.
Four plus days of digging.
I guess it's not going to last until Wednesday.
And I'm just using this as an example. I'm not suggesting anything. What I'm saying is, for instance, if it was an OUI arrest, okay? That's not federal and state.
Yeah, it's not.
It's much, you know,
if she's right, it's right. Not.
It's not. You know what? I'm not downplaying. It's not domestic violence.
No.
It was a domestic violence.
It would
violence
not be federal and state.
And we would have known about it.
Plus, he crossed state lines. It's always a bad thing when you watch those crime shows. If you do something and you cross state lines, the feds get involved.
Do they?
Yeah, you got to stick with one state if you're going
to
be naughty.
I'll have to remember that.
Just
apparently,
saying.
Both of you have to remember it. I mean,
I'm just saying.
He's the one who's got the check list here of rules.
You learn from TV. You watch a little Law and Order or something, and you
that's
try to
why,
not
that's
break
why I
the
tell
rules.
My wife, let our son watch more TV. It's got to be good.
You
for
learn
him.
From it. Right. You pick a few things up along the way.
617-779-7937. Bob's in Albany. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, Dale. Question is, on this Hanley thing, if it comes out the state and feds find that they have something they can indict him, does that lead to a violation of Hanley's contract and morality clause and free up some luxury tax issues with the Red Sox?
It could, and I'm not going to pretend to know enough about this.
Where's our lawyer friend?
Oh, Michael McCann.
Where's Michael McCann?
Yeah, we just don't
Michael,
have time
tweet
to,
it out.
To get in touch with Michael in the time we have left.
He'll be after Cora on Wednesday. Clear up what the manager said.
No, he'll be with Cora.
If, in fact, there was a violation of the morality clause, and there is some sort of clause in all these contracts, you would think then the Red Sox would be in a position to try to recoup some of the money that they owe him.
I think if there is, the Red Sox will do everything they possibly can to get as much money back from Hanley Ramirez as they possibly can.
As they should.
Yes.
Now, again, we have no idea. Look, we don't even know if anything happened. We've got a single tweet from Michelle McPhee, which indicates that he's being eyed in connection with an investigation.
That is vague.
But that is still the first really on the record thing that we have heard. There has been plenty of smoke and conjecture and behind the scenes. Oh, I can't say this on the air. Can't say this on the record. But there's been plenty of stuff that hasn't been said that you know shows you this is not just one single Michelle McPhee tweet.
But in connection doesn't mean you're the centerpiece of said investigation. Could revolve around somebody else, and you cross paths with them.
You're somebody they want to talk to about it. That's why it is so vague that I'm a little hesitant to say, oh, well, he's done something wrong.
What do you think
here?
It could be? Let's throw out the top
three
possibilities.
Yeah, let's just make up stuff here.
Trafficking.
We got like 18 different really, really bad things we'll talk about.
Tax evasion? Isn't that what they got Ronaldo for?
Yeah, $18 million?
You think Hanley paid his taxes? I don't know. Could be. And if you skipped out on state and federal, they'd both be pissed.
Well, no, he left the country, didn't he? Wasn't he shown on Instagram or something down in the Dominican?
Hasn't he been in the Dominican?
Yeah.
I mean, his Instagram.
Because he's on the lam.
Right.
That's what you do.
Trying to get away
again,
from the federales.
You
right.
go out of the country.
Exactly.
Do they have an extradition
with
treaty?
I would think they do.
That's probably off with Trump in office now.
That's a good point. 2 years ago, yes. But now it's off. Yes.
I'd be in Mexico. Where is he? What did you say?
Dominican.
I bet you they'll ship him back.
Yeah, I don't know. It would also depend on if there's an ongoing investigation, as she says, and if he's part of this ongoing investigation, does that mean the feds or the state authorities want to speak to him? Do they go there?
Did they tail him?
Have they spoken to him?
Maybe they've seen something since they've been tailing him. That's what they say in the shows. They tail him.
You're real big on these TV crime-fighting shows, aren't you?
I really have a lot of personal experience with this stuff. So
do you think when they're tailing him, is there one guy going, hey, Hanley, I'm just trying to help you out, buddy. Right. I just, you know, my partner Dale
good
over
cop.
Here. Bad cop, yes.
Dale would be good cop. You'd be
I'd
bad
be the
cop.
Bad cop.
No
yes.
question.
And you'd be worse cop.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. I'd be the guy who just walks and smashes his face against the desk.
Like, listen, Hanley,
we're in Dominican. No one can help
right
you now.
You're going down.
You'd be Michael Chiklis in the Shield.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd have an angle. Yep. Listen, I can make this go away for a certain amount of money.
Make this hard, we can make it easy.
It's going to be hard. Comes at you hard.
Dale wants to make it easy.
Final Drive, sponsored by Cars for Kids. You guys do understand the whole red light comes on and all that.
We were discussing the greatness of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, that's fine, except when the mics are coming on. And, Sponsored by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. We had to get that commercial read out of it.
And that was a good one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So normally Keith does Week in Review here, but Keith is off
watching Jurassic World.
Jurassic World or something. I don't know. Some nerd movie. It could be.
He prefers Dork.
So playing the part of Rich Keefe for this afternoon's performance is none other than Jason Rossi.
That's right, Dale. I was here all week, unlike you. So this week we'll do Rossi.
Wait, he did a charity thing in Maine on Monday, Rossi. What the hell?
He wasn't here. I didn't say why.
It was a shot the way you
there
said
was tone.
It.
Yeah,
I was just letting him know. That's why I thought I'd be better.
Hey, you weren't here.
Listen, Greg, it's perfect. Let's start with you. You were here on Monday.
I was.
Why wasn't I here Monday?
We found
you never invite me at all.
Yeah,
so
we only had two people on here on Monday. Why couldn't he be the third man in?
Oh, that hurts right there.
You screwed up the whole week.
Because, Greg, I wanted to keep you in.
Well, couldn't be three of us?
No, there couldn't. All right.
I don't
there
think
is today.
You get how two and three are different.
Anyways, Greg was in, and he had a little bit of difficulty spelling words.
I despise with a capital D I S. Soccer. But I know the World Cup is going on, and England's
up
is leading 1-0 over Tunisia.
Oh, Greg, okay? You're in.
Right, thank you. I know it's happening. I hate it, but I know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
D-I-S.
Greg.
D-I-S, oh, yes. Boy. Do not try and spell.
Do you want a second attempt at that?
I do know it's D-E-S. Soccer. I don't know the rest of it, but I don't have spell check in my brain.
We don't know if we blame you more or Keith. Me and Andy behind the scenes.
Because Keith never reacted at all.
No, he just was like, yeah, he's right.
And then he didn't know any better.
The best part of it was after Rossi and Andy pointed out my flub, thanks to a number of texters and whatnot, then Keith goes,
Has he not told you the story of when he took his SAT scores to his college? And I believe it was the football coach, somebody, whatever he played there. And the coach said, when are you taking these again? And Keith said, what do you mean?
So no, he's not a bright bulb. Please don't take offense to this, Dale. There is a reason most of us do radio for a living or have done radio for a living.
I understand.
Not that smart.
Now, jumping to Wednesday, this is something Greg and Andy were talking about earlier when it comes to coaching and the frustrations. And I know, Greg, we're going to try to make some moves to make you move out of here quicker a little later on this evening. And Lou, Angry Lou, made a big return this week just about that.
Meanwhile, the tournament starts this weekend, right? And the game's supposed to be at 5:30 on Saturday. Yeah. But oh, no, the bracket changed. The bracket changed. Now it's 5:30 on Sunday. I got to do the baseball show. How am I going to coach the kids when I got to leave at 6:30? So what do? We call those pukes down at Duxbury to try to see if they can change the game back to Saturday or even move it to 4:30 or 4 o'clock so I can just coach the kids. It's all about the kids.
Sure.
I'm trying to teach them fundamentals. All right, so what do I get? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, we don't want to move a little whatever game.
Got a picnic.
The parents refuse to move the game back to Saturday or even move it to 4:30 so we can have a coaching staff there.
Duxbury
refuses to move the game with 8-year-olds. I mean, come on, dude. Who cares if we play at 10, 11? Who cares?
Apparently. Wow. As a longtime youth sports coach, I can say with all the fervor in my being, no, it is not always about the kids.
Never is.
No. No, sometimes it is. Not usually.
And then on Wednesday, we also had Alex Cora in, or I should say he was on the phone this week, and he had an interesting analogy when it comes to baseball rumors and somebody's favorite dinner.
It's like when you're cooking pasta, you know how it is? You grab the noodles and you throw it to the wall, and some of them stick and the other ones don't stick. I think that's the way it works, honestly. And I saw it, I lived it. So whenever the guys ask me, I can go to my media experience, you know, at ESPN, and I can tell him how it works. You know, like sometimes what you see is not the truth.
So Alex Cora says at ESPN they just throw bleep against the wall.
Yep. And some of them stick and the other ones don't stick.
Do you guys do that?
No.
No.
Well, that's how you deal with freshly made pasta, not out of a box.
Throw crap against the wall.
I don't just usually take my pasta and fling it against the wall.
I have not flung it against the wall.
No, I've done it.
You have?
In the past.
Why wouldn't you just take out one little noodle and
just eat it?
Yeah, and eat it and test it.
And see how chewy it is.
Much easier than
I do. And then I get a taste.
Because then you got to pick it up off the wall. Why do I want to eat it?
I can remember. I think we did it in college and we would just leave them there.
Nice.
That was a race. And then yesterday there was some copyright infringement going on with the middays.
No.
Taking a shot or taking a part of our show.
You got your keys to this game?
Want me to do Keith's keys?
Yeah, can you do a version, a shorter version of
I'll go get my keys. I got time to get my keys.
Yeah. All right.
Keys to the game.
But you need to get like Keith.
Keefe's got like
that would be important.
Keefe's got when runners in scoring position, find the outfield grass with a knock. Do something.
Find
hit.
A gap.
Find a gap. Jump in front of the ball. Do anything. Get a hit. That's the key to the game.
It's the sound score of runs. Keys.
You know what you need? You need like
I feel like keys don't work with baseball.
Sounds like a challenge.
Truthfully, I think that's why he's not here today. He was so upset when he found out they ripped off his gimmick yesterday.
It's not ripping off.
Oh, I mean, it's totally ripping off his gimmick.
No, the way I look.
Keefe's Keys.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I don't think in this business. It's stealing.
It's gimmick infringement.
We all steal. Stealing. Everybody steals. I don't steal. Business. Everything I say is original.
That's wrong.
100% original.
So then Keefe came on yesterday to one-up them, but this conversation kind of took a turn.
Often does.
Only two undrafted players have ever made an all-star team. Ben Wallace and Brad Miller. Brad Miller had a tattoo of Scrappy Doo on his arm. That, of course, is Scooby's nephew Scrappy, who would help him solve mysteries.
Worst cartoon character.
No,
ever.
He's not. Scrappy Doo.
Scrappy Doo ruined the show.
No,
ruined the
Rossi,
show.
You shut your mouth.
Scrappy Doo ruined the show, or did he make it better?
If there was a jumping the shark 20 years earlier, it was Scrappy Doo. It shouldn't
Scrappy
be called jumping the
Doo
shark. It should be called Scrappy
worst.
The Doo.
Scrappy Doo is incredible. It was a great addition.
I'm gonna guess Scrappy Doo sounded a lot like Scooby Doo did.
No,
he was worse.
No,
he was like
a little guy.
One eighth of the size.
A little bit of a guy.
It was let me at him.
It was a Yogi and Boo Boo type of.
He was super feisty.
He was very. Shine, great call. He was very feisty. He was scrappy, even.
He didn't fit the whole show.
Yes, he did. Scooby had a nephew who wanted to solve mysteries. So they brought him in the van, and he had another comedic element to the show, which they needed at that time.
Yeah, Garvin's back here. Puppy power. That's what we were all about, puppy power.
It got a little crazy at the end. That's fine. Puppy power is just a red herring.
Somebody just gave a whatever.
They're not thrilled about it.
Wait a minute, that mic was open?
Yeah, that mic is hot.
By the way, a texter suggests that this segment is like letting toddlers play with knives. That's what it sounded like.
And it's
it
not
was the
Keefe's
most
keys.
Impassioned I've heard of them. I heard.
Aren't those just facts? Keefe's facts?
Well, sometimes they're facts.
Yeah, but there's got to be a
hook. Sometimes
to
they're
it.
Keys.
No, but what is the key? Two
he
undrafted
doesn't get
players
to jingle
all
his keys to Keefe's right. facts.
There's also no alliteration to Keefe's facts.
Yeah, I'd like him to keep it to keys and not just have facts.
I would
proving
prefer,
he can't successfully articulate facts.
I would prefer
I mean,
for
keys,
him to just keep
facts.
It, period.
I did like Scrappy, though.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I know like, I
it was like adding Cousin Oliver to the Brady Bunch.
That's exactly
work.
What
it was
I said. It was awful.
It's a good, cute
smelled
little character.
Smelled of desperation.
Boys, good to see you again. Appreciate you coming in. Go coach. Go do what you do.
No, I got to stay here. I'm here. I'm doing this little
you're here.
20-minute little thingamajig.
It's not going to be less than that.
Ever Dick.
Ever Dick. You just couldn't stop, could ya?
That's my name.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.